Well, good morning again. Y'all can do better than that. We got noise going around anyways. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Man, great. All right, quiet down. Settle down. Getting a little rowdy. Luke chapter 8. If you want to find that, Luke chapter 8. I know here in the last, couple months, I normally like to preach verse by verse and go through the Bible, but the Lord's just been laying topics on my heart and different things and different passages as we've been reading through the Bible in a year as a church, and I've enjoyed this season. It's stretched me in a new way, because I'm normally not a topical style preacher, because I just like preaching the Word. And so you can combine the two of them, and that's nothing wrong with it. That's just what I'm learning, and I'm growing through this season as well. So this topic today it just fits in perfect with what we are celebrating today. Today, we get to baptize many new believers, so many people that are rededicating their life today. I'm so excited. I've said it before. I can't even keep track in my mind of how many people have reached out to me and come forward over the last several months that want to give their life to the Lord. So I can't wait. So the title of the sermon today is this: Salvation Made Simple. All right? Now, I want to explain something to you. This is what was on my heart. This is one of the hardest sermons that I've ever written. You know why? Because while I was writing it, I was making it more complicated than it was supposed to be. And I'm like, well, I don't want to just say this, because they need to understand this and this scripture, and this scripture says this. I don't want somebody to be confused. You can overthink salvation. All right? I was overthinking salvation and how to explain it today. So today we're gonna let the Word explain it. And I'm looking forward to just preaching this, because it's very simple. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. Find that. It's a very familiar story. Find verse 43 and be ready. All too often, we always complicate what God wants us to keep simple. Right? The Bible says man thinks he's wise in his own mind, whatever, but the Lord is the one that shows us really who's wise. God has any wisdom we have, God gave it to us anyways. We get wrapped up in this doctrine or that doctrine, right? Well, what's your doctrine, Pastor, on this, right? That's what we like. We use these words, right, that can confuse people. We get wrapped up in denominational doctrines, right? We get wrapped up in different categories of Christianity. Well, when we title ourselves, instead of saying, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a Christian, whatever, I'm a born again, I'm a saint because of Jesus Christ, we say, well, are you a Methodist? Are you a Presbyterian? Are you a Calvinist? Are you a Pentecostal person? Or maybe this, are you a Baptist? Well, yes, I'm a Baptist. Okay, well, are you a Southern Baptist? Or are you an Independent Baptist? Or maybe you're a Fundamental Baptist. Maybe you're a Free Will Baptist. It can go on and on. Maybe you're non-denominational, which is kind of like a denomination now. So we get wrapped up in all this stuff. Over the years, this is what I believe, church. I believe the church has confused the people. I believe we've confused. I think the world is asking, what church do I go to? Who's got it right? What doctrine is right? How do I know what to believe? Because we're not unified as the church. Well, I'm going to answer that question for you right now, not because I'm wise, not because anything, because this is what I've learned, and this is what is eternal, and it will be forever. We are to follow the doctrine of God's Word, period. It's that simple. We don't add anything to it. We don't take anything away from it. We don't take just a few verses and we take them out of context to make whatever doctrine we want to believe, make it sound better. That's not what we do. The entire Word of God is what our doctrine is supposed to be. Why is that? It's because God gave us His love letter. He gave us this letter, inspired men to write it through His Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about today, because He loves us and He wants us to know His heart and who He is. And He wants you to be with Him, not only right now, but for all eternity. We got to believe that, and we got to receive it. And when people get mad at me for standing up for the truth as a pastor, that's okay. That's okay. It used to bother me, but it doesn't anymore, because as a pastor, I don't answer to people. When I die and I stand at the throne of God and I stand there and He says, did you preach the truth or did you not? The Word of God says that I will be held accountable for every word I spoke. Guess what? I can say, I answer to Christ. I answer to God. I don't answer to people. So all I got to do is preach the truth, and God, His love, will defend us. Amen? And it's the same with you. Paul says this, Galatians chapter 1, we haven't even got into the sermon yet, by the way. Verse 1 says this. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. All right? First of all, he didn't say this is from, I'm Episcopalian. He didn't say, I'm a Free Will Baptist, or I'm a Southern Baptist, or whatever. He said, I'm an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Now, that is the best comeback ever. Like, that sets the stage right there. Like, look, I'm called by God, the God that spoke the heavens into existence, the God that created everything and spoke life and breathed his life into me and created man and woman from the dust of the ground. That's the God that that calls us as Christ followers, as Christians, to do the work of the church that he wants us to do. We're not called to place our hope in the doctrine of man. It's that simple. And we easily get tangled up in it. And I'm not saying that all of doctrine that men and women of God have written down before, or there's anything wrong with it, it's all wrong, but that's not where we place our hope, and that's not where we title ourselves. We're to place our hope in Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? You see, salvation is the most confused and twisted doctrine in the Bible. I'm convinced of that. Yet God made it so simple. He made it so simple that Jesus said, if you don't come to me like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. All right, so what's he saying there? He's saying, if you're going to try to complicate things and you're going to try to tell me how my salvation, he said, you come to me like a little child. Like a little child that just leaps into their father's arms and knows the father is going to catch them. That's the kind of God that we have, and that's all he expects for salvation. So today, we're going to read about this woman who learned just how simple it is to be saved by Jesus. And we're going to see that I think that she shows us, and this experience shows us, that any other doctrine other than you are saved by faith is incorrect, and it's wrong, and it's a lie. Whether we've told ourselves that or whether somebody else has taught us that, it's a lie. So let's read Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. It says this. Now, to give you a little background, Jesus has just healed a demon-possessed man, okay? Gets on the boat, comes across the lake, or comes across the sea, and then he comes, this Roman officer comes up to him and says, look, man, or this leader in the synagogue, I'm sorry, he comes up and he says, look, my daughter is dying, can you come with me? All right, and the crowd is so big in the town just because they've heard about Jesus. Jesus is trying to go heal somebody else. And then we find ourselves here. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. And she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt the healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And her last verse says this. Jesus says, daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning, and I just pray, oh Lord, I can feel. It wasn't just when I was sitting outlining this sermon. It wasn't when I was praying about today. It wasn't. I can feel it right now that you want to do a mighty work in our lives. How do I know that? Because I have the Holy Spirit, just like anybody else can have the Holy Spirit. But I also know your word. And your word says that you're always seeking the lost. And so you are here today seeking to save somebody. We just have to be like this woman and learn from her. Help us to learn from you and help us to learn from your word today. Convict us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As I said earlier, the heart of this message, listen, if you have been confused about salvation, you've heard different things, we so often confuse the very important topic of salvation. And the most confusion of all doctrines is the one that says this, I believe, when it comes to salvation, that we, maybe it's just our human nature that we try to do, or maybe it's, we just grew up like that or whatever, but it's, you know, I have to work to be better, right? You can go to take, you can go to the bookstore and you can get all kinds of books on how to be a better person. But you ain't going to find something that says, how are you going to become a new person and be born again, other than the Word of God? I have to work to be righteous. Maybe if I could just undo all the bad things I've done, maybe God would look at me differently. There's no such thing as karma, all right? There's no such thing as that. Work to become righteous. If I'm a good person, if I'm a church member, if I go get baptized today by the river, maybe, just maybe, I'll be better and I'll have peace and I'll be healed inside out. You see, this lady in this passage of Scripture is going to teach us just how simple. And actually, she's going to give us the proper order of events. If you question whether you've been saved or you want to be saved today and you come today and it seems like the crowd is enormous and you don't know, like, how am I going to do this? And the Lord's been working on my heart and whatever. How am I going to get to Jesus? How do I really get to Jesus? I believe she's going to show us that order of events today. So let's go through her experience and let's see what God teaches us. The first thing, it's just 3 points, and it's going to be simple. The first thing that leads us to salvation is conviction of sin. All right? Now, that's not something popular to talk about, but listen, don't hang up the phone yet. Don't close your heart. This lady, what she did is she realized her need for Jesus. That's what conviction is. You realize that you have fallen short. She realized, now, she had a physical problem in her life, but we know everything in the Bible leads us to Jesus, and I believe this is an illustration to show us how awful and how sick our sin is. You see, she saw that she needed to be saved. She was desperate for Christ. Church, we can profess to believe in Jesus all day long. We can have the little fish symbol on the back of our car. And we can wear a shirt that says what church we go to or whatever. We can join a church. We can be baptized. We can keep most of the Ten Commandments. Really, we can't, but we can think we're doing that. But without conviction of our own sin nature, we'll never really understand what we're being saved from. Does that make sense? How can you be saved if you don't know how wretched you are and you need to be saved, right? So Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands." The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So if you want to measure up your life, go read the Ten Commandments, all right? Now, it's easy. You could say, well, I don't worship idols. I've never carved an idol and bowed down and worshiped to it. Have you ever gone and bought a brand new car and you didn't have enough money to tithe and whatever, and you put that before the Lord? Or maybe have you ever been too busy to pray or to worship the Lord or whatever? It could be all kinds of things. There's idols in our life. I have idols in my life. Well, I've never murdered anybody, Pastor. What did Jesus say? He said, if you've hated somebody in your heart, you might as well have murdered them. You're just as guilty, all right? It shows how sin nature and how sinful we really are. I've never committed adultery. I've never done that. Have you ever had a lustful thought? Because Jesus said, if you've lusted after another woman or another man, if you've lusted after somebody in your heart, you might as well, you're just as guilty as if you had done the act. In the eyes of a holy and just God, I've never stolen anything. Now, if you can say that, number one, I want to tell you right now, you've already broke one of the other commandments because you're a liar. All right? You get the point, all right? You get the point. I've stolen something in my life. You've taken something that belonged to you in your life. I know you have because I have and whatever. That's just what it is. This is just an example of how the law is used by God to really show how sinful we are, all of us, starting with me. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit to convict us. All right, now you're thinking, well, okay, well, conviction means that I'm going to be condemned and I'm going to be shunned for what? That's not what it is. John chapter 16, verse 8 says this. This is Jesus talking, by the way. He says, and when he comes, talking about the Spirit of God, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. All right, so he convicts us to let us know that God is righteous and that we have an availability to be righteous before God. But he also wants us to let us know we're sinful, but he wants us to let us know God is righteous and we can have that righteousness. But also, he's trying to protect us when he convicts us. There is a coming judgment. You are going to answer for your sin. Now, to be saved, it's not enough just to be sorry. Well, I am sorry that I did that. I'm sorry that I'm a sinful person and I don't follow the Lord or whatever. What we have to do is we have to listen. Jesus said those who listen, those who have ears to listen will hear, right? We got to really listen to the Holy Spirit, to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We have to listen to that conviction that tells us, Anthony, you've fallen short. You've fallen short and you're separated from God because of that. You've fallen short of God's glorious standard, as Paul wrote in the book of Romans. This woman had an awful, life-hindering, embarrassing problem. Okay? Think about this. Think about this lady and her position that she was in, especially in her day, in that day. And I believe her problem was recorded in the Scriptures to show us how terrible our sin problem is. So there's somebody here today that has sins. I have sins in my life that I would crawl under this stage and never come back if it was put on the screen. We have a screen right there. If my sins were listed on that screen, I would never come back to this place. They're so embarrassing. All right? This is how this lady was living her life. This lady had heard about Jesus. She recognized she needed Jesus, and she came to him. And this leads right into the next point. All right, we got to be convicted of our sin. We got to realize no self-righteous people up in heaven. I can tell you that. Jesus never even called him self-righteous. He said people that think they're self-righteous, right? We're all sinners. So number one, there has to be conviction of our sin. Have you recognized the fact that God is telling you you have fallen short? You have fallen short. You need Jesus. Number two is this. We turn to Jesus. I told you it's simple. It's easy. We turn to Jesus. Look at verse 44 in our text for today. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. He says, coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. And listen what it says here. I could just preach right here. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Immediately, she was healed. We're going to get back to that. Here's the real doctrine of where our faith lies, where my faith lies, and I believe where this church lies. This woman was in total despair. She was ashamed. She was embarrassed. She was considered unclean. She had been cut off from the religious crowd. Did you know when a lady had this kind of problem, or a man had some kind of physical problem, maybe like leprosy or a skin disease or whatever, or maybe any kind of handicap, anything like that, they looked at it like you must have sinned. That's why you have this. And they would not let you come into the temple. So she had been cut off from the religious. She couldn't even be a part of a church service. And more than likely, she had lost her husband over it, because under the Levitical law, it required that a husband could divorce. It said the husband can divorce your wife if she has any of these problems, because she was considered unclean. All right, so this woman, you think about this. To put yourself in her shoes for just a minute. Very personal problem. A very intimate problem. A very private problem that normally would have been everything within her power would have kept it quiet and kept it secret. Yet she didn't do that. She entered the crowd. And she said, nothing's going to stop me from getting to Jesus. She acted in faith. She acted, if I could just touch the edge of his robe. Somebody here today, there's somebody here today that's saying, if I could just get a glimpse of, I want to give my life to Jesus, but I don't know what it's all about. If I could just touch the edge of his robe. If that's you, we have to understand what it really means to turn to Jesus. I don't want to sugarcoat it, but I also don't want to make it complicated. So listen, we're going to keep it simple. We really can't turn to Jesus without turning away from our sin. Okay? That's what the Scriptures and many people that wrote in the Bible, it's called repentance. That's what it's called. So turning to Jesus is repenting. This lady was bound up, so to speak, by this problem that she had, this hemorrhaging that she had. But she didn't let it keep her shackled. All right? She turned away. She said, look, somebody here today is tangled up in some sin. And it looks like you could never get to Jesus because of it. This woman is showing you can. You got to walk by faith and you say, I'm not letting anything keep me from Jesus. I'm leaving that behind, even though it seems impossible, for this moment, and I'm going to walk to Jesus and I'm going to touch the edge of his robe if that's all I can touch. You see, we like the idea of calling upon the Lord to be saved, but we find it hard to walk away from our sin. Am I the only one? Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus says this. He's talking to people about repenting. He says, not at all. You and you will perish too unless you repent of your sin and turn to God. That is very simple, but it's not easy sometimes. You see, calling upon the Lord may be easy while repenting of our sin is hard. And that's just the way it goes, because we've got a simple nature and we're human. But thank God, again, we have the Holy Spirit. All right, so somebody needs to listen today. It's not just me that needs to be reminded today. The same Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin is the same Holy Spirit that is our advocate that will help us overcome the temptations in our life. So God doesn't convict us of our sin, and Jesus doesn't save. Jesus saves us, and then just says, good luck in the Christian life. That's not the way it works. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. I heard this quote this week. Actually, my wife Jenny heard it, and she just said it to me yesterday and had no idea that she hadn't looked at my sermon notes or anything, and it just went along with it great. I'm going to add that in there. And so I think she heard it on the radio. It said, convictions are an opportunity for God's blessing. That's really what it is. It's evidence that God loves you, and he's trying to draw you back to himself. We just have to keep it simple. Salvation is simple. We realize we've sinned against God. We turn to him and we decide, I don't care if you've been suffering with something in your life and tangled up in sin for 12 years, maybe even more than that, like this lady was dealing with. We repent. We leave it behind and we turn to Jesus. We push our way through whatever crowd is trying to keep us from Jesus. You know what crowd keeps me from Jesus most of the time? It's my pride. My pride. It's like a wall in front of us sometimes. What are people going to think when I go forward? Or what are people going to think when I stand up and say, I've been a church member for years, but I really haven't been living right, and I want to give my life to the Lord. What are people going to think about that? I'll just sit here. I feel called to be baptized this afternoon and give my life to the Lord, but what are people going to think? That's pride. That's our pride. We all have it. That just came to me just now, but I just want to throw that out there. She tried every avenue for a cure. That's what I want to point out about this lady. She tried everything she could. Then she'd heard about Jesus, she acted in faith, and she sought him. She came to Jesus just like she was. She didn't try to get better and then come to Jesus. She came to Jesus to be new and to be healed. And what does the word tell us? Instantaneously, immediately she was healed. I want to remind you today, the same is true for every person that's here today. My Bible and every Bible I've ever read says, whomsoever believes will be saved, will have eternal life. They will not perish. See, God wants you to know that today, that whatever burden, whatever embarrassing sin that you have been carrying, he can heal you today. And he wants to heal you today. Then baptism, church membership, serving in the name of Jesus, loving people and doing good deeds and all those things, instead of those things being used in your life to try to please God, all of a sudden it's evidence of what God has done in your life. And you do it because you're like, God, you did this for me. Now I want to go do it for others. Baptism or service, whatever you're doing, is confessing that Jesus healed you. That's what this lady did. And this leads right into the next order of events for salvation to occur. This is point number three. She confessed Jesus. All right? She was convicted of her sin. She knew she had a problem. She went to Jesus in faith. And then she said, Jesus is the one that healed me. Is that hard? Or is that simple this morning? Look with me at verses 46 and 47 in our text today. Luke chapter 8, verse 46 and 47. It says, but Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain. We hear that? The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Now, I love this, y'all. I love this right here. It's that simple. Listen, first of all, Jesus is on his way to heal somebody else. All right, the scripture doesn't say this lady was dying. She was suffering. There's a little girl dying on her deathbed that Jesus is trying to get to, okay? Walking, trying to find this girl to go heal her. Then out of all these people pressing into Jesus on the crowd, Out of all the people that are in the church service today, out of all the people bumping into him, reaching out to him, you say, well, how would he know me? How would he care about me? You know what he did? He felt the one touch that acted in faith. That's what he felt. He felt the touch of the one lowly nobody, the rejected person that just said, I have faith that Jesus can heal me. Not only did Jesus feel it, but he wanted the crowd to know about her faith. That's what he wants the crowd to know about my faith. He wants you to know about my faith. He wants everybody here today and everybody you work with and your family to know about your faith. You see, if we're confused on salvation, we can get it all mixed up. If we can't get salvation right, everything else is going to get mixed up. So simply put, we are not saved by our works. We are saved for good works. All right? Somebody needs to receive that today. I remember I've got that written in my Bible. I heard it preached many times. We are not saved by works. We are saved for works. The Bible says, I think we read it last week, God's plans for you will blow your mind. You can't even think about what God wants to do in your life. But it all has to start with you putting your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus allowed this woman to be healed in order to help her in her embarrassment. Okay? Right? But however, he didn't save her and just say it's okay to keep that secret. Right? There is no secret discipleship in the Bible. There is none of that. Jesus wanted her to confess her deliverance. Why is that? Number one is this. God gets the glory. Right? If this whole crowd comes forward today and wants to give their life to the Lord, I can't take credit for that. I didn't lead anybody to Christ. God gets the glory, right? Number two, others will also be saved. That's the reason. We confess our faith because we glorify God through that. Let me tell you what God is doing in my life. And then others see that and they want it too. And that's how discipleship, that's how the gospel goes all over the world. It's just that simple. We're convicted of our sin. We turn from our sin. We turn to Christ. We trust in him and him alone for our salvation, for us to be made righteous. He heals us, and then he wants to use us. Is that difficult for anybody? I can start over. Let's go back to the beginning. All right? I will do that. If somebody, you tell me, I'll go back. Because it's important. We can't leave here today without knowing that. This suffering, ashamed, embarrassed, outcast of a woman tried everything else when all she needed was Jesus. I remember being there. I remember, and it wasn't that long ago. 10, 12 years ago. I remember. I tried the world. It didn't give me peace. I tried my accomplishments. You know, I was going to be first in my class at the State Police Academy. I'm going to study, and I'm going to be first in my class. Ended up being second. I tried that. I tried trusting in my own knowledge and everything. The guy beat me by a quarter of a point. I tried dressing up, playing the part. I remember coming to church and having to make myself not cuss because I'd been doing it all week, but I came and I tried to play. I tried doing good deeds. All these things, but none of these could ever deliver me. None of these could ever give me total peace. None of these could ever give me the peace that I have now knowing I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. It wasn't until I came desperately seeking Jesus that I found him. And I found who I really am. He showed me, Anthony, this is who you really are. He'll do the same with you. Personally, I believe this is where this lady was. I believe that she was considered unclean because of her condition. I believe she had tried religion. And it failed her. It rejected her. I believe she probably was let down by her closest friends. Can't be seen with you. You're considered unclean. I'm sorry. Let us know if we can help. And they go the other way, right? That's what sometimes people do to us. They let us down. She may have even consulted with many doctors or whatever it was. It said she had tried everything else and could find no cure. She was hopelessly suffering through life. She had no peace. She was probably confused. There's somebody here today that's struggling with no peace. Life could be grand for you, but you have no peace at night when you lay your head down. You still got doubt and worry and all these things, and you're confused. But see, on this day, this lady, she learned the truth. Actually, what she did is she met the truth. John 14:6 says this. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Church, listen. Jesus never leaves us in confusion. God is a God of harmony, and he is a God of simplicity. He knows, he created us. He knows how simple we are. Okay? It's just that plain. He wants to spiritually heal you today. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to be his witness today. And baptism is where this witness begins in your life. That's why it's so important. Sometimes we get those out of order. So this is what I'm going to do. And I had a chance to warn some of the people that this was coming, that are getting baptized today. But if you are getting baptized today, down by the river, as soon as this service is over, I would ask that you don't hesitate, get up out your seat, and line up here in the front. Because we're going to witness today what God is doing. Who's going to be the first one that'll get up and come up and say, Mike, come on up. Can we give it up to the Lord? How do I even go on after that? I'm going to end with this. If you're here today and you doubt that you've been saved, or maybe you know that you know in your heart you've never made that decision to trust in Jesus, all you have to do is desperately seek him today. This means you do whatever you have to do. Break through that pride. Break through the crowd. Whatever it is, this lady came into the crowd in her condition, and she didn't let the world and what the world said about her and thought about her stop her from coming to Christ. And she left healed. When we're under conviction by the Lord, we're desperately to come looking for Jesus. Salvation made simple, church. Conviction of sin, we turn to Jesus and we confess him as our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Now, y'all think we're done, but we're not. Look at verse 48 in our text today, because we can't leave without reading this. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. All right, think about that now. I want to leave you with this. Everybody that's standing here today, I would ask that you look at me for a second, because I want you to understand this. Your faith, because of your faith in Christ, and you following the example of this lady given us in the scripture, God didn't just save you, he made you sons and daughters of the King of Kings. Right? Now think about it. That's what he said. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Everywhere else in this text, it was the woman. Right? Before today, before you just gave your life, you were a woman or you were a man. But today, you stand in front of the church and you stand in front of God and you're a son and daughter of the Most High. Amen? And even better yet, there's an invitation for more to come. There's an invitation for more to come. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, let's read that together, you will be saved. Go down a few more verses, Romans 10, chapter 13. Chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, for everyone, everybody say everyone,
everyone,
who calls on the name of the Lord, what does it say? Will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your spirit working in our lives every day. Lord, I'm overwhelmed that I get to witness your healing power. We are so blessed, Lord. We just want to thank you today. I want to thank you today, and I want to give you praise, Lord, that you are wonderful. You are perfect in all of your ways. Lord, we can learn from this woman in the scriptures, or we can learn from every man and woman and child that's standing in front of us today that was unashamed to come up and say, I'm a sinner, I've turned to Jesus, and now I'm confessing that he and he alone saved me. Help us to keep it simple today. Lord, if there's somebody else that needs to come, maybe they just need to come and just agree with you on some sin in their life, or maybe recommit their life, or whatever it is, or give their life to you for the first time. I pray today that today would be the day of salvation for them, and that they would make that choice to make it simple, to have that peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, and to have eternal life. What a gift. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If God is calling you this morning, we're going to sing one more song. I'm going to ask that you guys will stay up here. I'm going to come up, and the invitation is open. Not my invitation, but God's invitation. Amen? If God is calling you, come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.